listening to a Leisure Moment podcast with your host, Deitra Helvey, who's always ready to have a casual conversation about her love for literature.
Hello, and thank you for being here with us. First of all, I would like to just thank all of our listeners and all of our readers and subscribers to this podcast. We know that you have a super busy schedule, and it's nice to be able to just sit down, put on your headphones, or even turn up the car stereo and have yourself a leisure moment. You're listening to A Leisure Moment, Episode 3. Today's casual conversation is with the author of How I Became a Pirate, Melinda Long. Enjoy. Hello.
Hey, Deitra, how are you?
I am doing awesome. How are you, Melinda?
Doing great. Doing great.
I just want you to know that my sweet and lovely husband is here with us as well for that technical support.
Hello.
As we move into all things new with technology. So glad that you could join A Leisure Moment for a casual conversation about the literature that we love. So excited to have you here this evening.
Well, thank you. And, you know, I've been looking at your blog. It really is pretty interesting. I've been following up. I noticed one today that I want to follow up on, but I really think you're doing a great job.
Well, thank you so much. We're just excited about this new approach, and I wanted something that I could send all of my teacher friends to and their kids and things of that nature, so we're pretty excited.
I think it's great.
I want to start us off by going back, and I know you probably do not remember, but many, many years ago, and I can't even really say what year it was, I'm thinking maybe 2006, I was in the Upstate Writing Project, and I believe you came to the University Center, and you brought in some of your books, and you spoke with us, and that's when I received my first signed book. Not just a picture book, but I mean, my first book ever signed by an author. And I was just so excited. You probably don't remember.
I do remember very well. As a matter of fact, I used to love going out with that group a lot. I did a lot of activities with them. I haven't recently, but that's just a wonderful group.
Yes, yes. And I still have my book. I still have my signed copy. And I've always taught in middle school, so I thought I was a pretty cool teacher, you know, to go in and read your book, and, you know, the kids just loved it, and I was popular. You were too, but I was popular for, like, the next 3 days, because I read a cool book.
If you did the Pirate Voices, I hope you did the Pirate Voices.
I did the Pirate Voices. And you know what? Since we have David here, David, why don't you talk about your experience?
Yeah, I did the Pirate Voices also. My youngest son, I read for his preschool class, and they had got a big kick out of that, doing the Pirate Voices, how to be a pirate. So.
Oh, there's nothing like a bunch of preschoolers when they start responding to you with, "Arrgh, get ahoy, matey."
Yeah, I think that was the most popular reading that year.
Well, I think I read an article that was written with the Greenville News, and it stated that you started writing at the age of 6. Did I read that correctly?
That is a true story. I really did. It was my mom who prompted me to do that. I always love to tell the kids that I was born in the dark ages because they don't remember a time before DVRs, you know.
Right.
They don't remember a time before DVDs and MP3s, but I remember it well. We had three channels on our black and white TV, and that was it. And so basically, you entertained yourself a lot, and there was nothing to do that day, and I remember bugging my mother with "I'm bored" until she finally pulled out a box of rubber stamps and said, "Melinda, please, why don't you write a story about Yogi Bear and his friends?" Those were the characters on the stamps. So she gave me a stamp pad, paper, and pencil, said, "Write a story. You can illustrate it with the stamps." Well, I wanted to play with the stamps. I really did. I knew she wasn't going to let me do that until I wrote the story. And I didn't like holding a pencil.
Uh-huh.
It hurt my hand a lot to hold a pencil.
Okay.
And I can sympathize with kids that hate to write things down with pencil and paper because I can remember how that felt.
Mm-hmm.
So Mama basically did something cool. She dug out her old typewriter and showed me how to use it. And I wrote my first story. It was cool.
Wow.
It was so much fun. It was Technology Day then, you know.
Yes, absolutely. Now, before you wrote How I Became a Pirate, what pieces did you have before that?
My very first book was called When Papa Snores.
Okay.
Now, I had been writing tons and tons of stuff before that. A lot of it was not very good. And I think that's what most writers will tell you, that they really wanted to write, but it took a long time for them to progress to the point where they could actually do it the right way, you know,
mm-hmm.
and to get something out of it. But finally, my first book that actually sold was When Papa Snores, and I wrote it because, I snore. I snore. Tom snores too. You know Tom.
I know Tom, and I know somebody else
She's
who snores too.
Giving me a look right now.
Yeah, it's a common thing. And basically, Tom and I used to sit around the kitchen table, and Tom would say things like, when your mother snores, the manhole covers bounce up and down. And the kids would die laughing. I thought that was so funny. And so, you know, I wanted to battle it and taught me. So I'd say, well, when your daddy snores, the people in the graveyard sit up and yell, be quiet!
Mm-hmm.
And back and forth. And we finally ended up, Tom said, you know, you've been trying to figure out a really good topic for a book. That would be a good topic for a book.
Yeah.
And it ended up being my first picture book. And the funny thing was that, Tom came up with the idea. He's always been real supportive, and he's mm-hmm. always been the one to urge me on to do things. You know, Mama started the whole thing way back then, and I had tons of great teachers. But eventually, Tom was the one that said, here, send something in.
And I must tell our listeners that I've had the privilege of working with Tom, and you know he is a wonderful educator, and I could so see that. So your mom has influenced you, Tom, and his support, and you've just kind of looked forward ever since and have several books out and other things on the horizon.
Yeah, things really have been great. I will tell any writer this, I do still get rejection notices all the time. If I send something in, if I send it in to my agent or to a publisher, a lot of times I get it back saying, you know, this isn't quite ready. You need to go back to the drawing board.
Right.
So it's not like it's an automatic, you know, but I do feel like, you know, once you get your foot in the door, it helps, but mm-hmm. but it's not an automatic. So I still work all the time at doing things. I've got Hiccup Snickup followed up when Papa Snores. That was my second one. And I really do love that story because my grandmother taught me this rhyme when uh-huh. I was a little kid. It was, you know, how you get rid of the hiccups. It's like hiccup, snick up, rear right, straight up, three drops in the teacup will cure the hiccups.
Oh.
And you're supposed to say it over and over again, like three times in a row without hiccuping, but nobody could ever do it. But it was fun to say. And mm-hmm. so I wrote that into a story about getting rid of the hiccups, and I still love that book. It didn't do that well on the market. When Papa Snores did a lot better than that one did.
Mm-hmm.
But I love the illustrations, and I love the book, and I dedicated it to my grandmother. And I have to tell you this, teacher, this is a neat story. My grandmother knew, the book came out when she was 97, okay?
Uh-huh.
I had the dedication to her, so I definitely wanted her to hear the book. But, you know, at 97 years old, she was having good days and bad days. So I went to visit her. My mom said, she's having a good day. She's with us. Why don't you read your book to her? And so I explained that it had been dedicated to her, and I read the book to her. And she sat there, and she patted me on the knee, and she said, Melinda, honey, you should win a prize for that.
Oh, how
it made me
sweet.
Feel so good.
Absolutely. Wow.
It was just a neat thing. And
just precious moments.
Yeah, you know, even though the book didn't do that great, just to know that she approved of it. That was something special.
That is special.
Very special. That's all you needed to hear.
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful.
And, you know, we've had the pirate books. We've had The Pirates Don't Change Diapers and How I Became a Pirate came out first. And the cool thing about it, it really I didn't think it was ever going to come out, Deidre. I really didn't. Mm-hmm. I thought it was going to be like, they kept telling me, putting me off and saying, oh, it's going to be a long time and we got to get the right illustrator. And I was getting really impatient. And they got David Shannon for it, which blew me away.
Yeah.
Wonderful. And he really is.
Yes, because I was gonna ask you how does an author and an illustrator come together and just take such powerful words and then, you know, bring pictures to life with those words? How was that relationship during the process?
The secret is we don't. The thing is, you know what they do? They basically keep us apart. And the reason they do that is because there are people that would be very pushy mm-hmm. about the way they want things done.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think this picture should be done this way. Now, I am not one of those people because, frankly, I can't draw a straight line and make it look like a straight line. But I do understand how you get involved in your own manuscript and you say, no, 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 the picture shouldn't be that way. It should be this way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really think that way, but I can understand why they would want to keep you separated from the illustrator. So basically, I do my part, and once it's done, it goes to illustration. And great illustrators add their own storylines.
Mm-hmm.
They don't just illustrate what's there in the story. They put their own part in. There are a lot of different parts in How I Became a Pirate and Pirates Don't Change Diapers that were not in the story at all, but David managed to illustrate it so that the kids assumed I came up with that brilliant idea.
Right.
It wasn't me. That was David. It really is me. I mean, yes, I did come up with the words, but
uh-huh.
the actual illustrations that aren't spoken out loud, those are him. And yeah, he's just really cool. One of my favorite examples is in Pirates Don't Change Diapers, at the very end of the book, you see the little baby who they've been chasing the whole book. And she's sitting there in front of a big X. The mm-hmm. X is made out of the map that she's chewed up and everybody's been looking for. What I had put down in the text was, thanks to my baby sister, I think I know exactly where to dig. And what I had imagined was that the baby sister and the doggy had dug up some ground somewhere arbitrarily and they had accidentally found part of the pirate chest.
Right.
But David had other things in mind. He had her chew up the map and unfold it into the form of an X and put it down on the ground. And so there it was. And that's where they dug. And of course, that's where the treasure was. But,
wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a good illustrator, and this is why, as a writer, you don't get the next-door neighbor or the kid who happens to be really good at illustrating mm-hmm. or really good at drawing to get to do your book, because children's illustration is a different game altogether.
Mm-hmm.
They really do know what they're doing, and they know how to bring out the best in a story. So, once again, the secret is us not getting it rather than us getting it together. If he has a question or a comment, he wants me to change something in the text, he'll contact my publisher,
mm-hmm.
and she'll contact me, but we do not talk about it.
Wow. Well, yes, that was a secret out of the bag. I had no idea, and I remember that scene very vividly.
Yeah.
So I think this would be great to move into the theater piece. So I've visited your website, and I mean, I've heard pieces along the way too as well when I've talked to Tom in the past. So tell us the amazing things that are going on. We've moved kind of from the book to the stage.
Yeah, and this is a real love for me because I love the stage. I love acting. It's a kind of a side piece for me, which I haven't been following up on lately. I've just had too much going on, but I love to act. So theater's just a really natural progression for me. And when a couple of playwrights in Cincinnati got hold of the book, somebody said, you know, we really would like to have a play based on this book.
Mm-hmm.
And they took it and they wrote this play. Actually, two different groups did, but this is the one that has lasted. About 5-6 years ago, I guess, they wrote the play. It's got a lot of great lyrics, a lot of great music. It came to South Carolina second year it was around, I guess, How I Became a Pirate, the musical. And
you can imagine, because you've seen books based on, I mean, movies based on books.
Yes.
And you've seen movies based on books. And sometimes they just go way off topic and they don't stay with the book. And, you know, mm-hmm. so you can imagine what it's like to take a 40-something page, 42-page children's book and turn it into an hour to an hour and a half play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's hard not to add stuff, but they stuck very closely to the storyline.
Were you a little nervous?
Yeah. You know, it really, I didn't know what they were going to do. I didn't even know they were doing it at the time they were doing it. But when I found out they'd done it before I saw the play the first time, I intentionally stayed away because I wanted to be happily surprised, and I was hoping I was going to be happily surprised.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know if they were going to take it and add everything to it, or if they're going to stick to it, or what they would do. But they were doing a beautiful job of it. I mean, and it's so nice to see the characters come to life on stage. They adjusted the characters a little bit to make each of the characters more in depth, because, you know, in the books, you basically have Jeremy Jacob and Braidbeard talking to each other with the pirates chiming in from time
mm-hmm.
to time.
Mm-hmm.
But they developed the characters a little bit more, and they added music, and really they did a great job of sticking to it and sticking to the plot, and it turned out great. And this is the really cool part. I don't know if I even told you this, Deidre, but my son Brian just graduated from Limestone College as a senior in theater major. And he's always been really good at acting. It's always been his thing. So his department head contacted me about a year ago and said, we've been trying to get How I Became a Pirate fit into our schedule, and I think we're going to get it in before Brian graduates. And I couldn't tell Brian because I didn't know if they were going to be able to do it or not. And I was so excited because I knew Brian would want to be. But the long and short of it is that Brian's next to the last play before he graduated was How I Became a Pirate, the musical, and he got to be Braidbeard, which was really cool.
That's pretty neat.
Yes, very cool. I bet you were a proud mama.
I was. Man, I was so proud. I was so excited to see my son up there with my book and the play. Mark and Janet, the playwrights, are just amazing. They really are. And they came to me a couple of years ago and asked me, you know, we'd like to have a Christmas play based on the same characters. And we talked about the logistics and the legalities of it, because there's not a book
mm-hmm.
Based on that concept yet. And Harcourt, who publishes How I Became a Pirate, would not, you know, you'd have to go through them if there was a book. But since there wasn't, we weren't sure what to do. But we mm-hmm. talked about all the legalities and finally figured out that we could do this. And so this past Christmas, they opened up in three different theaters because they barely got it under the wire. So hopefully they'll open up in a lot more theaters this coming Christmas. But the musical's called Jingle Arg the Way. Is that not a cute title?
That is a cute title.
Came up with that title, but it was Jingle Arg the Way. I thought it was cute.
That is a very cute title.
Yeah, and they did, once again, they did a great job of sticking to the storyline.
Good. Well, I will definitely have to make sure that I check it out as well.
Yeah, I'm hoping that it was in South Carolina this year. It was at South Carolina Children's Theater at the Peace Center, which was kind of neat to go and see that again. It's just so cool to watch your characters up there, you know, on the stage. I'm hoping that it will have a big turnout next year.
Well, I hope so. We'll have to do another podcast closer to it and make sure we get the word out.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I see also the 12 Days of Christmas in South Carolina.
Yes, that was, what was it, 3 years ago now?
Mm-hmm.
You lose your timeline after a while. Sterling Press started doing a series of books about the 12 Days of Christmas in whatever state, and they tried to get a local author for each one of those. And so they came to me and asked me, would you be interested in writing this? And, knowing it's going to be regional and local, I didn't know how well it would turn out. But I really did want to write it because I love South Carolina. I've been here almost all my life, and I love this place. And there's so many great Southern things to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
I had to stick to their format, which was a letter format, and it's targeted directly towards, say, second, third, fourth grade.
Right.
Because they do a lot of South Carolina history in third grade. And so it talks about a lot of cool South Carolina stuff like kudzu, and we talk about the Patriots in South Carolina, and you know, the Swamp Fox and the Gamecock, and I don't know, it was a lot of fun to write. I got to put my favorite stuff in there, you know?
I know.
sweet tea and Tibet sandwiches. You know, just I really had a great time with that book, and it still sells really well. It's a Christmas book, but it does sell in between. I've been very fortunate with that one.
I think I've seen some signing opportunities at Fiction Addiction that you've had for this book in particular as well. Well, you talked about writing some of the fun things about the South. Now, you were a middle school level teacher for 22 years?
Yes, 22 out of my 23 years I taught middle school, and I loved it. As a matter of fact, I really miss not keeping up with the young adult novels like I used to. I still keep up with it, but it's not the same as walking into the classroom and seeing what's popular, you know, because you know the kids are going to be carrying those books around. And so what I do is I try to talk to my friends, and I've been keeping up with your blog.
Oh, yes, wonderful.
And I'm really big on, one of these days I want to write either a middle level or a young adult novel. I've got several in the hopper that will one day be perfect to publish, but not yet. I'm getting close.
Good.
I'm really fascinated with people like Polly Shulman right now with the mm-hmm. Grimm Legacy. And as a matter of fact, I'm reading The Wells Bequest right now. And that was on my Christmas wish list because I really wanted to read that one. Librarian or the media specialist at Hughes actually turned me on to that one because she knows that I'm a big Grimm fan. I love mm-hmm. Grimm's fairy tales, mm-hmm. the original, you know. And she said, you know, you ought to read the Grimm Legacy. And once I got hold of that, I said, has she written anything else? And so now I'm into the Wells Bequest. That's a great series. And the Veronica Roth stuff was
Oh, yes. The movie's coming out soon, too.
Oh, yes. Yes, and I've got Insurgent sitting on my nightstand, so I'm getting ready to start on that one. And, of course, you know, you and I both read The Hunger Games.
Oh, absolutely. And you remember when I was trying to get, I was trying to be an extra, Josh and I, for the movie. That never quite worked out, but that's okay. Our time will come.
Well, you did get the next one.
That's right. And you just keep, they're going to come back, you know, and they the second one, of course, that's coming out, and then the third one will be out. They'll do it again. Hey, go in and tell them you want to be in it.
Exactly. Now, I want to hit on one little piece. You shared a picture today on Facebook when I was just, you know, how we always kind of social media, we're always on Facebook, and I was just flipping through this afternoon and I saw this and it popped up. A child who reads will be an adult who thinks.
Oh, I really believe that. I really do.
I do too. Powerful, powerful words there. What were you thinking when you shared that? Was it taking you back to your days in the classroom and the impact?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, certainly. It took me back to my own childhood because I can remember reading The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and my imagination just went crazy. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just was so fascinated. And I can remember all of the Madeline L'Engle books when I was a kid. And then as I got older and started teaching, the kids that carried around the book all the time, the ones that you knew were reading something, I could go up to one of them and say, what you reading now? And they would tell me. And, you know, those were the kids that could have a conversation with you.
Oh, yes.
Those were the ones that talked to you, and they made sense. Not always. But I mean,
right. But I know what you mean. I had the same experience, and I think that is one of the reasons that I have really become a huge fan of middle level and YA literature, because in order to connect with my students, I found that if I could talk to them about an author that they were reading, if I could discuss scenes in a book that they were reading, it was like, wow, Miss Helvey reads. Miss Helvey reads cool things, and it just helped build that trust and relationship.
And you know, you really, they kids that get into this stuff, it's so much fun to talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
It is. And you're right, it does build a certain relationship with those kids. I really miss book fair. I honestly do.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I miss the book fair so much that I have one of the schools that I visit. And every year that she has a book fair, I have to go to her school and I just have to walk. She allows me to just kind of walk around and I get first pick without any kids around and I can put my hands on the book. That's a sweet feeling.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love it. And the neat thing about book fair is, you know, Scholastic and a lot of other groups do a really good book fair, but they make the stuff affordable.
Mm-hmm.
Kids can actually afford to buy a book.
Yes.
And, you know, in hardcover, they're a lot more expensive, but they do provide a lot of paperbacks, and they're very popular stuff, and they're really good stuff.
Right.
You know? So mm-hmm. It's so neat to watch that.
Yes, it is.
It's browsing as much as I love to browse. It's just kind of fun to watch and see what they'll pick. And I do miss that a lot. Mm-hmm. I miss that stuff so much.
So do you prefer an e-copy or a text, actual hard copy book, or does it matter now?
I don't have anything against e-copies. Tom has an e-reader, and I use my tablet occasionally to read a book. But I just have this thing about turning the pages.
Yeah.
It's just a preference for me. I'm not going to downplay e-copies. I mean, it's the new thing, and a lot of books are there, but mm-hmm. I just... a special place in my heart to be able to sit there and hold the book. And also for me, I do a lot of books on audio,
mm-hmm.
Mainly because I'm driving to a lot of schools. And if I put on music, I'm going to be asleep in 10 minutes. So I'll put on a book. I can focus on that and drive, you know.
Well, I love audiobooks, but I found that my commute in the morning is about 30 minutes. So
yeah.
I have missed my exit several times. And so honestly, I had to kind of stop with the audiobooks on the way to work, and I would just, you know, I can enjoy them at home if I'm cleaning up or something like that. But I've missed my exit too many times on the highways because I'm so into the book.
I can really see that happening. But I mean, really and truly, if you get on the interstate and you know you've got to go from here to Columbia and you're going to be on 26 forever.
That's good.
You know, it's such a nice companion to have that book talking to you rather than, I mean, mm-hmm. I love music. I really do. I enjoy music, but I can stay alert with the book there. I can focus in on the road and listen to what it's saying rather than, you know, it's like having somebody right beside you and say, talk to me,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yes, I agree. Well, I must say, Melinda, I have so enjoyed our casual conversation. Just have really enjoyed it.
Well, thank you. And I really appreciate you inviting me to do this. I definitely want to do it again sometime. I hope that this works out for you beautifully. You just are such a natural at it. I think you'll be great.
Well, thank you so much. And I can't wait for us to go ahead and have this podcast up. So if there's anybody out there that hasn't read How I Became a Pirate and Pirates Don't Change Diapers. And one other thing, do you remember when we went to Disney World, the Helvey family? I guess it was about 3 years ago, David.
Yeah.
You remember how excited I got? We were at Disney World during Christmas. We got off of the pirate ride. And what did Princess see right there in the gift shop? Do you remember that, Melinda?
Yeah,
your book. I sent you a picture. I think it was like maybe Christmas Day.
It's so exciting to know that it's there and that they, you know, the timing for me was so weird with Pirates of the Caribbean coming out when it did. They changed the ride right after the movie came out, and then they started putting my book in there after that. I didn't get to see that part of it. I have not seen any of that. One of these days I'm going back to Disney World to see that. That is so cool.
Yes, I still have that picture. That your book was there, and I was like, Princess, pick it up, touch it, point at it. We're going to send this picture right now. So I look forward for us to have another conversation. And thank you so much for spending this time with us. We can't wait to share it with the listeners and readers of A Leisure Moment.
It was so good to talk to you. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Hey,
way, if you enjoyed that episode, let us know on iTunes by giving us a great review. We want to thank all our listeners again. Check us out at theleisuremoment.com. Like us on Facebook and Twitter. Have a good one.